I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm really excited this morning to have a dear friend of mine, and I am honored that she is a district executive. She was elected last year. We've been friends for many years, and the Lord has just done some wonderful things with her. And for us, it's really an honor to have her here this morning. Help me welcome her with a hand clap, Reverend Carol Maroquin, our district ministry, our district education leader.
God bless you. You may be seated. What an honor to be in this house. I honor Reverend Carlos Medina and Reverend Damaris Rivera and all the dear friends that are in this house, as your pastor has mentioned. We know each other many years. That's because we were nursery buddies, not because we're old. I bring greetings from our superintendent, Reverend Manny Alvarez, who would have loved to be here. As some of you might be aware, our ladies are having their camp, their women's retreat up in Camp Mahanaim, and that's where I was part of this weekend. And it is my great honor to be with you this morning. I bring greetings from my husband, Reverend Sergio Maroquin, who stole my heart and has never given it back, and now I don't want it back after 26 years together. We have two lovely daughters. Our oldest daughter, some of you may know Emmy. Emmy graduated from college this year. So if I have a 22-year-old who graduated from college, you know I'm no spring chicken. And then God surprised us and blessed us with Carolyn, who's 11. And just she just keeps us on our toes. And we love it. I want to take the opportunity to thank this church for their investment in education and setting aside a Sunday to focus on the Word of God. When God called me to this role, I was uncertain to what laid ahead of me. But as I walked into Otapan and asked the Lord to kind of guide me to what it was that he wanted me to focus on with the guidance of those that were already working in the Department of Education, and asking the Holy Spirit what task was at hand, one of the biggest things is Bible literacy in our children's program and training new teachers. So that's pretty much what you're going to hear a lot of the next couple of months coming out of the education department. We're blessed to have well and solid Bible institutes. And as your pastor so eloquently said, thus saith the Lord. So there's not much more to say. I thank Sister Damaris for her excellent presentation, which makes today's message so much easier. I do want to, before I begin, to invite you to our next education training or empowering day, which will be here in the tri-state area, September 8th. It will be in the Bronx in La Iglesia Tesalónica at 9:30 in the morning. We're going to have Dr. Gabriel Salguero with us from Florida, and from California, Reverend Elias Flores. And they're coming to help us, to train us, to equip us so that we can serve our communities. Because if we're here, it's not to stay within the four walls and be kind of kosher and comfortable. It's because there's a world out there. There's a great commission for each one of us. And they're coming to pour out into our lives. And last but not least, I would fail if I didn't invite you to our education convention for 2019. And you're saying 2019, it's around the corner. There's only four more months left of this year. Can you believe that? And it is under the theme, Growing in Knowledge and Grace. And this year, we ask the Lord to place his word in our hearts, and we want to continue growing. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, continuing to grow in the knowledge of his word and in his grace. And during convention, we're doing something special. There's a new course being added to your curriculum, and it is a spirit-empowered church. And those that are in first and second years of Bible Institute, you will be taking this course. But if you're in third and fourth year, you're like, did I miss the boat? What happened here? No, you did not. We're going to be offering this course free of charge. It is part of your registration for the Education Convention. And we're bringing some experts from the national office to help us with this course, to be able to do it exactly like you deserve, with excellence. nothing less for the people of God. And that will be during the days of May 17 and 18 of 2019. Would you bow your heads right where you are? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We worship you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, first of all, to be called your children. Thank you for the opportunity to address this house, Father God. I pray for each one that is gathered here in your name to give you glory and honor. I thank you for the privilege, Lord God, to be an instrument, Lord God, to bring your word here this morning. I pray that not a single word leaves my lips except that one, Lord, those words that will come to edify your people, to build your people, to empower your people through your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. And I don't know if customarily, do you stand up? Do we stay seated? Either way, you're comfortable. I just want to honor. In my church, we stand. So, but it sometimes, Pastor, my husband says stay seated. So if you don't mind today, we could stay seated. Amen. And today I want to challenge you. I think if you are similar to me, or there are many of you that have been in church a long time, and some of you are new to the house of the Lord. But regardless whether you've been here a long time, like myself, or just recently came to the feet of Christ, the challenge is the same. To go deeper in our knowledge of His Word. His Word is an ever-flowing fountain. And the more you learn, the greater depth you will gain. And the deeper you want to go. And I want to challenge you, open your Word to Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. And this is not a typical education scripture, but as I was praying, I asked the Lord to give me the word for this house. What should I share this morning? And this is the scripture, and this is where the Lord brought me. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Can we repeat that together? That we may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in our inner being. And that's what the Word of God wants to do to us. It wants to strengthen our inner being. It wants to strengthen our core. The Holy Spirit wants to take that Word and create a strengthen, a core that is strong enough to withstand the storms and the winds that sometimes come against us and our families. The storms that sometimes arise in our society. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. As we are strengthened by His Holy Spirit, it is imperative. It is not something that might be a good idea, that could be a good idea. It is imperative that during the times that we live as Christians, we understand that our inner being needs to be strengthened. Sister Damaris alluded to false doctrines that may be trying to sway us or convince us of different things that we should not be or fall trap to. But something that I'd like to speak to you before we go on is the importance of you developing a biblical worldview. All of us have a view of the world. All of us have some perspective or opinion on issues that are going on around the world and around our country. But as Christians, do we have a clearly defined biblical worldview? Is my view of the issues of this world grounded in the Word of God? Do I view the issues that I'm confronting through the lens of the Bible? Do I allow the Holy Spirit to guide my decisions? Simply put, or in simple terms, a worldview is a set of beliefs about the important issues in our world. It is a grid or a filter that we use to process information that we base our behavior and our actions on. It is the sum of our beliefs about the world. It affects our daily decisions and our actions. And it is imperative, as I said, that we utilize wisdom. And we know that all wisdom comes from the Lord. Wisdom is using the ability, that knowledge, to apply it in making good judgment in everyday life. How are we going to make those good decisions if we do not know our word? It is impossible for you to make good decisions based on your own feelings, because our emotions and our feelings change. Some days we wake up and it's peachy, and some days not so much. And we say, did you get up on the wrong side of the bed? Is there a wrong side? I usually get up on the same side every day. I don't know about you. Right? We don't merely want to use information to make our decisions. We want to use the Word of God to drive our decisions, to drive our actions, to drive our opinions, but most of all, to influence our world for the kingdom of God. There are some people out there that are not sure what they believe in. It is sad to say that sometimes we may come to church or be in attendance for many years, but our depth of knowledge has not grown because we make a choice. Like Sister Damaris was alluding to, I said, oh, you made my message so much easier. We don't come to Sunday school. We think it's not for us. When did learning God's word stop being for us? It's always for us because it's about us. It's about our growth. It's about our development. It's about the strengthening of the inner being. It's about feeding our soul. It's about ensuring that our spirit gets fed on a daily basis. Do you neglect your diet? What happens when you neglect your diet? You get sick. And when we neglect our spiritual diet, our spirit will become ill as well. And then we will be susceptible to any whim that is out there, to all attacks of the enemy. That's when our faith starts to dwindle. So when Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 3, it is his prayer that we read here. He is praying that the church may be strengthened. It is my prayer this morning that this house and this church will be strengthened by the word of God through his Holy Spirit. That no matter what the enemy brings against you, you will be able to stand firm. Because Ephesians later on in chapter 6 reminds us that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And it repeats over and over from verses 10 through 18 the importance of standing firm. And in order for you to stand firm, you must have a strong core. I decided to take a challenge and I started working out. After 40 years of not doing anything. Imagine that. That's a real challenge. And one of the things that my team keeps telling me, because I'm not doing this alone, there's 5 other people that are going to be on my team, is the importance of having a strong core. And they said, it's great that you're jogging. It's great that you're running. But your core needs to be strong because it is your core, the core of your body, that's going to sustain you. And if your core is not grounded in the Word of God, you will not be able to stand firm. We realize that We transmit our worldview without even realizing it when you express your opinions about what's going on the world around you. We live in a postmodern society where truth is relative, where we don't want to offend people, where we are taught to be tolerant. And I'm not, you know, by any means saying go out there and do some crazy thing, heaven forbid. But I told my daughter the other day, I said, listen to me. If they're not embarrassed to curse in public, why should I be embarrassed to pray in public? I said, if they're not embarrassed to display profanity, why should I be embarrassed to display the word of God? This world wants to intimidate us. Being a Christian, at times, is not a popular thing. Except when they need a vote sometimes. Then we become. Right? But it is important that we're careful in our homes. What messages are we transmitting? Is our opinion about the issues that are going on in our society based on God's word? I want to share briefly some statistics that I hope will alarm you, that I hope will cause you to see the importance of diving personally into the word, but also ensuring that your children are in the word. Because although Sunday school does a magnificent job, that's only Sundays. They may come to girls' ministry, that's a discipleship program, that's a bonus, that's great. But who has them the rest of the week? You do. I do. Barna put out this study regarding Bible illiteracy in the church. Okay? And you might have heard this before. 45% of those who regularly attend church, about half, read their Bible more than once a week. Now, what I'm wondering is if when they read the Bible in church, does that count? Like they're counting that one as having read it? Like I read it. I'm thinking like you're supposed to read it at home, but when I read this, automatically I was like, were they counting that one as more than once a week? 40% of the people attending church regularly occasionally read their Bible twice a month, so every other week. 1 in 5 never read their Bible. So if you never read the Bible, how are you going to know what's in it? If we never read the scripture, how can our core be strengthened? If we never read the Bible, how will we know God's purpose for our lives? If we don't open the word of God, how can the Spirit of God minister to our spirit? In our home, I started doing this with our second daughter. I didn't do it with my first. With our first, we kind of read the Bible systematically, but I added another element to our second child, aside from reading the Bible. It is reading the proverb of the day. The book of Proverbs has advice on everything. And if you start your day reading the proverb of the day, I guarantee you, you're going to be wiser. You are. To the point where if it's today's the 26th, so we read Proverbs 26, right? So we're at a gathering with my daughter and, you know, the women are talking on how to be better wives and how to keep their homes. And ladies are just sharing, and I don't know, she must have been like 7. And she says, you know, I'm going to tell you something. If these women want to be wise, the word says a wise woman edifies her home with her hands. But a foolish one tears her home down. And I was like, what? What's this little girl talking about? What do you know about a home when you're 7 years old? But that's a proverb. Yes. And it stays with them. It stays with them, the fear of the Lord. This statistic went on to say that certain children, when asked to name and identify out of a list Bible stories that they would think, or stories that they would find in the Bible, they could not identify that the Nativity was found in the Bible. They thought it was just Christmas, a national holiday. not found in the scripture. Jonah was certainly not in the scripture. Moses was not in the scripture. And so I wonder, if we're not teaching our children, who's teaching our children? And what I'm asking you is to think that the responsibility is not only the church's responsibility, but we as parents, we have to be intentional about teaching our children about the Word of God. In an age where technology is so, what can I say, available everywhere, you can go to a third world country, they might not have something to eat, but they have a cell phone. They can connect to the internet. You can see people on Facebook. You can check out. So the Word of God is so readily available, yet it is scary to think that we are in a society that does not know the Word of God, that doesn't have a relationship with that God that wrote the Word. In these verses that we read in that prayer to the Ephesians, not only does Paul want the church of Ephesus to be strengthened in their core, their faith to dwell in their hearts, for them to be rooted and established in the Word, but then to grasp, to understand the depth of the love of God. To be strengthened in the Spirit means to be fortified, to be made stronger, to be built up. So the Spirit of God, through His Word, is going to build you, is going to fortify you, is going to strengthen you. And we need the support of the Holy Spirit each and every day. He gives us the power to obey that sometimes doesn't lie in ourselves. Because sometimes we know what to do here, we know it here, but why is it that it's so hard to carry it out in everyday life? Or is it just me that has a hard time? Right? And the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, allows us to bend our will, to be able to say like Jesus, not my will, but your will. As you deepen in your knowledge of God's Word, as you read the scripture, the Holy Spirit will bring convictions to those areas in your life that don't please Him, to areas where He's challenging you to grow, to invite you to go a little deeper in, not to stay in the surface. Have you gone to the beach? Have you gone swimming? Isn't it great when you could just take a plunge? And that's what the Holy Spirit's inviting us, to take a plunge into the Word, to deepen ourselves, to go a little further so He can reveal to us what He wants from our lives. We are a part of a wonderful church. And as a body, there are many functions. There's many things that you and I have been equipped with. Gifts, talents, abilities. Are we using those effectively for the kingdom? How can we face difficult situations if our core is not strengthened in God? Sometimes storms will come that will shake you. I remember when I was told that my mother had 3 to 4 months to live. How do you react to something like that? How do you react to your baby being in the NICU and the doctor said, you're young, you can have another one. This one might not be here tomorrow. So I'm going to recommend that you don't become too attached to this baby. How do you tell a mother who just gave birth not to become too attached to her child? How do you tell a family that they have 4 months with the matriarch of their home? Sometimes life will bring situations that will require you to be strengthened in your spirit, in your core. And only the Lord can do that through His Word. Only His comfort can come around you and give you the strength that you don't have to take that next step. And the Word of God says that sometimes when we're depleted, when we don't have the strength in in ourselves and we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do it. The word of God tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, that he gives strength to the weary and multiplies the strength of those that have none. The only one that can multiply out of nothing and create something is God. His spirit guides us, leads us to all truth. As I alluded to before, this society that we live in, everybody says, you know what? You have to be tolerant. If it's not sin for them, if it's not wrong for them, then let them be. There's no standard of truth. There is not one solid truth according to this world. But we know that the word of God is the truth. John 17:17 tells us that his word is truth. And that is the truth that guides us, that leads us. The truth that strengthens us. Consequently, when you deal with the problems of life, your foundation will not be on false doctrines or teachings. Your foundation will be in the Word of God, not in traditions, not in hearsay, not in culture, but in the living Word of God. There's a word in Hebrew, it's called chizuk, and maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong, C-H-I-Z-U-K, and it means to be strengthened in your faith. And that's what the Word of God does. It strengthens your faith. It strengthens your core. The apostle wanted the Ephesians to have strength in their core and for faith to abide in their hearts. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, so that we can understand. What does the writer wants us to understand? Not only what faith is, that by faith God made the universe and everything created. That by faith we believe in his word. That by faith we know that he is our God and our maker. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, someone accepted the challenge of that faith. It says, Abraham had faith, hope against all hope. He believed in the promise that God was going to give him a son. When we are in the middle of those situations, like the ones that I shared with you, that my family went through, it's almost like, hope against all hope, because you're hoping despite what the diagnosis is. You're hoping despite what the doctors are telling you. You're hoping despite that you're seeing your mother grow thin into the bones. You're hoping regardless of her hair falling off. You're hoping regarding of your child every day growing weaker and weaker. Because your faith is not in what you're seeing. Your faith is not in what your heart is feeling. Your faith is in the Word of God that is powerful. So when the apostle challenges them and says that your core may be strengthened, that your heart may be full of faith, is because he understands that when challenges come, that when the storms of life come, our faith grows faint. Our heart grows dim. And when those times come, it is important that we take the word of God in our hand and do as the Israelite, do a memorial. Do you know why the Israelites would build memorials, pillars of stone, so that their children would ask them, why are those stones there? And they would have to share the great deeds that the Almighty has done. And it is important for you to share with your family the great deeds, because not only are you sharing and bolstering their faith, you're boosting your own faith as you remind yourself that the maker of heaven and earth has not changed. His word has not changed. His power has not diminished. And if he did it before, he will do it again. Not in the same manner or in the same pattern, because we can't put God in a box. God has his ways of operating. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are certainly not our thoughts. We have to have faith and allow God's word to penetrate, to tell our mind, to speak to our heart. That when we can stand in front of the mirror and say, "Why are you troubled, O my soul? Trust in the Lord." That same God who has never failed you, who has sustained you. And sometimes we have to speak the word to our hearts. We have to say, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Even though at that moment, that's not what you're feeling. You're ordering your soul to acknowledge the sovereignty of God, because that word, when you speak, it has power. When you hear it, it transforms you. It encourages you. It lifts you. And that's what the apostle is saying. If you allow that word to penetrate, it will strengthen your core. So that you may be rooted in the word. Why is it important to have strong roots? Because a tree that doesn't have deep roots, what happens? When the storms come and the hurricanes, it topples over. So it is important that we have deep roots in the word, that we have knowledge of our word, that we don't just skim the word, but we go deep. To meditate, to ponder, to savor. Have you ever had a delicious dish? Something that I do when I eat something delicious, I close my eyes and I go, to the point where this weekend I was asked to be a judge for some of the tables, and they had cuisines from countries from around the world, and I was savoring something that I was eating with such satisfaction and such gusto that the person next to me wanted to try it. It seemed weird to them. They had never seen it. But they said, "Man, I saw you and you were going, And I said, "Man, that must be good. I have to try that." So she came from across the way to try it. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to allow others to come and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When you savor and when people see that you enjoy the word of God, that the word of God is ever ready on your lips, that when people come, you don't come with human wisdom, but you come with a word seasoned by the Holy Spirit. Believe you me, they're gonna come to listen because there's something different about you. There's a peace about speaking with somebody like you. And we need to be rooted and be strong trees. Why? Because there are others out there that need to find shade underneath us. There's those babies that need to come and find comfort in your strength. You're not only being strengthened for you, but in order to give, to mentor, to disciple, to help others. Because we can't be selfish about this knowledge that we have. We need to be able to share it. Once you go through Bible Institute, or the minute you begin to serve and grow, the next step would be, "Pastor, what can I do? How can I serve? Where do you need me?" Because part of learning the word, we are challenged to become active members of the body of Christ. Not passive members. We're not here only to listen, but to be part of the great things that God is doing in this house. Psalm 119 says, "With all my heart, I have sought you." That means with all your heart. And if you don't have desires to read the word, something that we heard this weekend that the lady said, one of our speakers, she says, "I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I didn't want to read the word." And I'm sure that's not her case. There are times we don't want to read the word. We rather watch TV. We rather be on the phone. We rather be on Facebook. And when we're tired, when we've done everything we have, then we want to read. And then we say, "But every time I read, I fall asleep. I don't know what it is, Pastor. I try. But every time I read, I fall asleep, Pastor." Well, of course, you're doing it at the end of everything else. Before you go on Facebook, before you turn on the TV, before you do everything else, while you're fresh, why don't you pick up the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I don't really feel like doing this. I'd much rather watch a TV show. But in obedience to your word and knowing that I'm feeding my soul and I'm strengthening my cord, I'm going to give your word the priority in my life that it deserves. And sorry if I sound a little harsh. We need to give the word. We need to treasure. Verse 11 of Psalm 119 challenges us to treasure that word in our hearts, to seek it. When you seek something, you don't give up. Just like when young men are pursuing young ladies, they don't just give up. Oh, I don't get her. God, I'm going to give you, just as an aside, God didn't ask you to understand women, just to love them. You are not going to understand them, or us, for that matter. Just love them. Just love them, okay? So, as you are persistent, maybe at first you're not going to understand everything that you read, but don't be discouraged. Ask questions in Sunday school. Ask questions in Bible Institute. Ask questions in small group. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal His truth. And the more that you do it, the more you're going to learn. And you're going to develop a discipline in your life to systematically study the Word of God. The other thing that we're challenged to do is the last thing, is to grasp. To grasp is to take hold. And when you take hold of God's word and you deepen and you understand the length and the height of Christ's love and the sacrifice that he made and the cost that was paid to pen this word, there were many people who paid with their life so that today you and I can enjoy this book. When we understand the price that was paid to ransom our souls, to redeem our life, to give us a new direction and a new purpose, our love for the Lord, our love for Christ in His scripture will deepen. We will have a new commitment with the Lord. It is wonderful to think that since the beginning, since the Garden of Eden, God made provisions for you and for me, for Jesus Christ. Imagine, from the foundations of the world, God was thinking of you and me. A leaf from a tree does not fall, the word says, without the knowledge of the Almighty God. How much precious are you and I in His sight? So everything that involves us is important to God. And it is important to the Lord that His word be treasured in our hearts. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 says, I will write my words in their hearts. God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants His word not only to be in our hearts, but to be applicable in our lives. It's not only to know it, but to practice it in everyday life. Because then our neighbors are going to see there's something different about Carol. She used to come out in the mornings and be sound like a, you know, like a hacking yen. But we don't hear her arguing with her husband anymore. We don't see her fighting with the neighbors. I wonder what's going on with her. Something's happening. And the first people that are going to notice that this word is having an impact in your life is your family. And you're going to notice that you're not the same. The minute you start holding the mirror of the Word of God every morning and reflecting and allowing that mirror to reveal the areas of growth that God is challenging you to go to the next level, because He wants to use you. Because there's a community around here that's waiting for you and for you and for you and for each one of us. And we can't let the pastor and the leadership do it alone. And when you understand what you believe, then you can create a biblical worldview and say, I know that I am pro-life because I value human life, because my Savior died on the cross and gave his life because life, human life is precious, because human life is worth a great value. Because even if you and I were the only one, God would have sent not what was left over, his one and only begotten son. Our daily decisions and actions should be evident that the word of God is taking root in our lives, that is grasping our souls, that we don't not only have knowledge or know about the word, but that we're allowing that word to penetrate and do a mighty work in your life. I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I'm going to ask you to hold hands with the person next to you. And if you haven't been reading your word like you should, and I'm not going to say, you know, you need to read the Bible in a year. You know what? If it takes you 2 years, but you're studying the word, I'd rather you do that than race through it. I rather you go deeper than faster. I believe accuracy over speed all the time. So as you hold the person's hand that's next to you, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, challenge me this morning. What is it that you want me to do? What is it that I should be doing in terms of your word? Should I be signing up for Bible Institute, Lord? Should I be faithfully attending Sunday school? Should I be making a segment in my day to study the word? Have I been negligent, Lord, in my many responsibilities as I race through life, Lord? Am I not giving your word the proper place in my life? Lord, I thank you because your Holy Spirit wants to bless us, wants to strengthen our core, wants to bolster our faith, wants to ensure that we are pillars in our community so that we can bless those and disciple those and mentor those around us. But above all, your word, Lord God, reveals your love to us, reveals your plan and your purposes for our lives. Allow us to open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we might be sensitive to where you're calling us, to the invitation of your Holy Spirit this morning to challenge us, to go a little deeper, to go a little further in our study of the word, to allow you, Lord God, to transform our lives, to be beacons of your love wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.